Okay, today's share is going to be on the male-female concept, right? So Chumash starts with Bereshis bara Elokim et haShemayim v'et haAretz, right? And Rashi says, right? Here it doesn't say bara Hashem. Why? And later on, when we say Uperik base, it says Eile told to Shemayim ba'aretz behi baram, right? With hey baram, the world was created with hey. So Rashi addresses this problem in both places. In pasuk aleph, perik aleph pasuk aleph, Rashi says aleph machshava went into his thought libarot midat adin, to create the world with midat adin. Rash ein ha'olam mitkayem, the world can't be established. Vigdim midas harachmim, put first midas harachmim, v'shit for the midas adin, and put it together with midas adin. V'hainiti biyom asot Hashem Elokim eretz v'shamayim. That's pasuk dalad and perik base pasuk dalad. That's what we just read. Here Rashi says Behibaram, Davache, Behibaram, Behebaram, with hey, he created the world. Shenema, Beka Hashem, hey, Tzu Olamim, Beshnei Otiyot Halalu, Beyudke, right, Beyudke, Hashem formed worlds, Al Ha Shel Hashem, of the God's name, Yatsa Shnei Olamim, created two worlds. V'lamdecha, it comes to teachers, kan, sha'olam hazeh, this world, nivra behei. This world was created with a hey, right? And the world to come is created with a yud. Okay. In order to explain this Chumash Rashi here, you need to be makdim a concept. That means, when a Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world, Alar Biritzono went on to his rotzen, his inner rotzen. Mitzideinu, all this is from our point of view. Of course, we can't talk about God from any point of view from God. Even from our point of view, you can only speak about His rots and His will. And even then, it's limited. Yeah? So, His first rotzen was to create the world, says in Sfarim Kedoshim, in order, the Ramchal brings this, in his Shire Ramchal and other places, in order to reveal his midot, to express his characteristics. Because a person who is merciful and has no one to be merciful to is not complete in that midah. I.e. the midah of mercy is only in potency, it's not in expression. The creation of the world was there. The rotzen to create the world was that the midah of his midas would be not only in potency, but be complete, that they have expression. So we see, the concept of potency, like Rashi said, this concept of machshava, right? Right? We see the lashon for machshava, for thought. See that there's a Gemara in Baba Basra, it says, it's a mistake, we say Zecha Amalek or Zacha Amalek. Right? So we see that Zecha and Zacha are related, because Zacha, memory, is potency. That's keneged zacha, the male. The female is expression. That's why kala, chatan, means to connect. Kala means to complete, to express the chatan, that connection. Or if we understand physically man and woman, man has the potency, a woman has the expression. This is a male-female concept. Machshava is a male concept. Expression is a female concept. Therefore, yud, that this world to come was yud, that's the potency, right? Or the machshava to create the world, the hey, the world was created with hey, is expression. And that's the female concept. Yud is keneged chachma, which is the male concept, the rationale. Hey is keneged bina. It's the first two letters of God's name. Yud is chachma, hey is bina. How is that? Yud is, Chachma is the information, so to speak, the box, the building blocks of the information. Bina is you build with those building blocks. I've explained this many times, right? Das is to connect them into this world. So these are the high levels of male-female concept. But they are male-female concept because the Chachma is the potency and the Bina is the building of those building blocks into some form is the expression. Why is the world to come with the Yud, either male? Because when the Machshava is, means the Tachlis of the world, the purpose of the world. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world with Machshava, means for purpose, for certain purpose. That purpose comes, that Tachlis comes to its formation when we go into the world to come. So that's when the world to come is when the Yud has its full proper expression. Either Yud is fully expressed as a Yud. That's really, in a certain sense, that's really Malchus. That's why the last Hey in God's name is a Dalet with a Yud. The first Hey is a Dalet with a Vav. And I'm not going to explain to that, but the expression of the Yud is in the last Hey. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus is fully expressed into the world, that's when the Hey, that's the Hey of the Malchus, is fully, that's what it means. Heilach is a form of expression. Hey is a form of expression. That's when the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expressed in the world. And that's expressed completely when the world comes to its Tachlis in the world to come. That's the Neshama enters the Guf and it's fully expressed in the Guf. That's a complete expression of God's Malchus. I mean, it happens beforehand in Yimot HaMashiach, it's Betz and Malchus, but that's, then it just continues to be an expression of the Neshama and the Guf on higher levels of expression. Now there is a very famous concept in Chazal called Tzimtzum. When God created the world, God represented the goodness in the world, i.e. God's complete loving-kindness. In order to create a world, he had to remove himself from the world in order for there to be expression. The removal of himself to the world is the creation of Din, of Ra, right? Because when he removes his goodness, so by definition, it's no longer goodness, so that's what Ra means. That's what Din means, that's what Ra means, right? So in a certain sense, right, Chazal speak about that as being a circle. I'm not going to go into it, that's what Chazal say. So in other words, it represents Hashgacha. Klalis, that's what Ramchal explains, because it's equal. And that's the concept of a Nekeva, so to speak. The expression of God, the creation of the ability to create a world is a creation of Ra, the creation of Din, but it's also the beginning of the expression of female, Nekeva, which means a hole, a circle, right? God bringing his Kav into the world is Kiviyochel, very Kiviyochel here, because we're speaking very, very high, is Kiviyochel God connecting to the world like a male to female concept. Again, I'm saying concept, this is not male-female, this is concept. That means the world, as from a Jewish point of view, the existence of the world, God bringing his presence into the world, is his bringing his potency into the world for that to be expressed through the Jewish people in the world. That's what the mitzvah is associated with this line. That's the male concept. And the Jews in the world, or the people in the world, not only Jews, everyone in the world is supposed to be connected to that line and bring that line into the world so it fulfills and fills the world with God's presence. In other words, there's a complete connection of male-female concept. That's the tachlis of the world, for the connection of male-female. The complete connection. And then we get to God's unity. Then the world becomes one. And that's the tachlis of the Bria. That's the purpose of the Bria, that connection. That's called Yichida. That's called Yichud. That's when we want to reveal God's oneness in the world. That's the highest level of expression. Right?
That's basic. Wow.
Yeah. If the world is created, the whole creation of the world is created with a male-female concept, that means everything in the world has this concept. And that's what's written in Sfarim, that everything in the world, even the physical world, is made with a male-female concept. Okay, so let's get very, very basic. When we speak in the physical world, we speak about forces. In physics, you speak about forces, you speak about fields, you speak about quanta, whatever you speak, it doesn't really matter. Let's take a very simple, basic force, but it applies to all the forces. Right? Let's take an electron, a negative charge. Right? Before I need to explain that, I need to explain a previous concept that I forgot to explain. God created the world. God is Mekomo Shel Olam, the place the world is within Kivyachol God. He's not, the world isn't his place, he's the place of the world. Like he's the source of the place of the world. You understand what I'm saying by that? When he was with Mitzamtzim himself, he created the void. This void, so to speak, is the world, the spiritual world, right? Which he's contained Kivyachol within him. So he's the place for the world isn't his place. By definition, he can't be contained. That's by definition, God is beyond us. We're speaking from, and when we speak like this, we're speaking from our point of view of God. From God, there's no concept of sinsum. From God's point of view, it doesn't happen. Him retracting. From God's point of view, he's the same. This is from our point of view in relating to God. This, since we're only talking from our point of view, this whole concept of tzimtzum and kav, whatever it is talking from our point of view. Therefore, the male-female concept can only exist from our point of view. With regards to God, we can't talk about it. There's no concept like that. Let's try and understand another thing. So, if the world was to exist without time, without motion. So let's try and understand how it would be.
Wait, which one? Without time or without motion?
Without time means without motion. If you don't have time, you don't have motion. So time implies change, or change implies time. So, if we look at a still picture, that's no motion, there's place, but there's no time. Only when something moves do we have expression. That means time represents expression. So time, therefore, is a female concept. You with me? The still is the potency. Therefore, makom is l'chara a male concept. Now, all these things are relative. But time is a female concept. So the expression of the makom, of the thing that's in the object. So now, when we look at the physical world, you say, we're going back, you look at this electron. The electron, if you see a still of it, it has a property, it has a field that doesn't change. It's still, there's no motion in it. When the electron vibrates, it moves, that means there's time. When there's time, there's expression, there's waves. So the expression of the electron is the waves. So everything in particle physics, everything in the basic physics has a particle, which creates a field, and that field has expression in time, therefore the propagator of the field is the expressor of that field, i.e. the photon is the expressor of the electromagnetic waves, right? That's the expressor. Therefore, the electron, klape the photon, is the male, and the photon is the female, the expressor of the electric charge. Now, even in physics, you could make, in theory, it doesn't work with a photon, but if you took other particles, in theory, you could look at one particle as the male and female. It can interact. But all it means is that all fields, all basic fields in physics, have a particle, which is a potency for expression, and a propagator of that field. That's the female. So even in basic physics, you have a male-female concept. In physics, they don't know why the forces express themselves in this way. They're all local, and they have a propagator. They can't explain why. They just say, this is the fact. We are explaining why. Because this is the way the world was created. So therefore, intrinsic to the world is this concept. If you have a concept of male female concept, even in science, finding, since its source is a higher source, that means there's a deeper understanding for all these concepts, right? If the world was created by a God, by one God, that means all these concepts come to a concept of unity. That means there's a bigger concept in which all these things come together. So it makes sense in science why you're looking for unified field theory. It's something which brings everything together. If you don't have a creator or some unity creating the world, or unification of nature, and why should nature have a unified form? Why can't it be dispersed? Diversive? Why can't it be? Why does the laws of nature have to be the same here as they are in a different galaxy? Why? I mean, that's a fact, but why does it have to be that way? If you understand the world was created with one creator and is expressing this unity in the world has to be uniform. You don't understand how important the concept is. The world is uniform, is all the invariance theorems in quantum mechanics, in general relativity, in relativity. The world, that basically, the speed of light is the same as special relativity. That we can replace an accelerating body with gravitational field is general relativity. All the different principles of locality and of how you call it and of all the conservation laws comes from the uniform principle, unified the nature space being uniform, or velocity not changing the nature, or time and time. They all come from the unification of space time. Or other things, or other symmetries. Why does the world have to be symmetrical? Or somewhat symmetrical? Why? Why is it unification? Because there's a creator who created it, and it's an emanation of a unified creator, therefore it has to be uniform. If you believe in idolatry, so then there's the gods of the sun, the gods of the wind, the gods, all different forces. So they don't have to be uniform. They're fighting each other. Why do they have to be uniform? There's a disparity. So if you believe in the unification of nature, you actually really believe that there's a source which is unifying everything. That all disparity really is uniform. That makes sense if you believe in a one God. The creation of the world, right, means the creation of the female, and then the reconnection is the reconnection of the male to the female in concept. Therefore, the purpose of the world is the connection of male and female. Mm-hmm. Simply speaking, the connection of Olam Hazeh to Olam Haba. Either Olam Hazeh will be the expression of Olam Hazeh will be in Olam Haba, will be Olam Haba.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, i.e. the Hey and the Yud will be connected.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's why anyone, this is the Rambam says, and the Arizal also says, anyone who's living with his Chochma and Bina, with his rationale and intuition, how you call it? I don't call it really intuition,
mm-hmm.
and they are connected,
mm-hmm.
he's living in this world, in the world to come, i.e. he has no Yetzirah, he has no Ra.
Mm-hmm. Wait, but...
The Shoresh of all Ra comes from the female concept, because the creation of Ra was creation of the negation of God's potency in order to create a world. So that's why the female concept, it's not Ra, it's associated with that Ra. The reconnection of the male to the female is the removal of the Ra from the world. According to this, says the Rambam, that the world of Ra, i.e. world of Shadim, all the lower worlds, only exists with a person as imagination.
Mm.
Only exists if a person lives in the world of Dimion, imagination, which is Bina. Bina is associated with imagination, right? When a person lives with full rationale, i.e. his imagination is connected to his rational side, those worlds don't exist. That means they don't have any influence on him. The Arizal says a similar thing that he says, when a person has his Chochma and Bina inside him, it's the same thing, when he's living with it, Pasak Mimeno Yetzirah, he doesn't have a Yetzirah, and therefore he has no Shichcha, he won't forget anything, from his Torah, from his learning, because he has complete, Moshe Rabbeinu reached the level that his Neshama entered him completely, and therefore, he's living therefore in Olam Haba, therefore, so to speak, Moshe Rabbeinu's body wasn't buried. We don't know his burial for Moshe Rabbeinu because he was no longer in the physical world. His body became so complete because of his neshama entered him that it became the expression of his neshama.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, he didn't need to be buried and, didn't need to be buried and physically removed from his neshama. Therefore, it's already in the more spiritual worlds. That's what it means that we don't know the burial of Moshe Rabbeinu.